podcast, Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly. And we are excited to be back. Bill Kelly, 2 weeks of scouting horses all around the States and taking his little respite from the airways. But good to have you back and good to be talking to you again. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing fine. Good to finally be back.
That's right. Yeah, you had our family in town. And how many of the other brothers, are they into horse racing as much as you and I?
No, Connor likes the, he doesn't, he's not into the betting yet, but he likes the mathematical challenge of it, you know.
Right, right.
Kevin's actually a very good handicapper, but he doesn't bet.
So. Right, right. They're probably smarter than us.
I think the disease is for you and I.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and Jim, when the big events happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Jimmy's a good handicapper too.
Right. So, how are the meets going for you, handicapping wise? Saratoga and Del Mar as they're coming into the home stretch.
Actually, I haven't been playing Del Mar very often. I've been doing okay at Saratoga. You know. I haven't been betting a lot, and you know, like yesterday, I hit the first double, and it paid 10 cents net. I ended up the day ahead, so it's all right. And today it was okay. So
complain about. Did you see the last race, race number 10 with the Inquiry and Paco Lopez and Ortiz?
Was that what I saw? I looked up and saw it was something in the first turn.
The eventual winner, they didn't take down. I think that horse, the one, was ranked for most of the way. So
seven?
No, it was the one who, was claiming Fowler, the stewards were looking into it, thinking that it just blew the turn because of the 13 cut in front, but they showed the one was ranked out of the gate and just was all over the place. So nothing was changed.
Yeah. I didn't see the incident. I was doing something else. And then, I think I picked the 13 to win.
Yeah, you did. You had it on 13 on top. So.
Yeah, actually, if you look at we had a pretty good day. If you look at I think the 6 won the ninth race, and the 3 won the eighth or whatever, and so.
And you can get all those selections, Bill Kelly hooking them up at winatthehorses.com. So, a good day for your prognosticating. You had the exact.
Right. The Ouija board was working.
I played the exacta too. I mean, it wasn't a big one, but you know, kind of.
Which one?
Good to have at least one. Yeah.
Which one?
It was in the final race, the 13 and the 7.
Was it 13-7? Yeah.
Yeah. 13-7.
Yeah. Yeah. That was on. So, we had that on the the list as.
Yeah.
13-7.
You had that as. Yeah. You had it dead on. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk.
I just kind of ran out of gas and didn't do the 10th. So.
Right.
So
let's talk about this upcoming. If you want to talk a little bit about Saratoga tomorrow, do you have anything spotted for the listeners
for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Or Saturday.
Well, let's see. I wanted to ask you about tomorrow because the stakes race, a 5.5 turf race, you have on top pretty good morning line, 8-1 on the rail. Jason Service and Castellano, Fig Jelly in the 10th race.
Let me get to it.
Okay.
Davis just hit a home run, by the way.
Oh, Chris Davis?
JD.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's on my fantasy baseball team, so that's good.
Yeah, well,
I'm in first place.
He just blasted one to center field, so the Mets have gotten a run.
All right. So let's go Mets.
Yeah, right. This is the The Lucky Coin Stakes. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And let me put my this is tomorrow. Okay. Okay. We're on here. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I had selected.
You got a fig on the rail. Yeah. Fig jelly.
Oh, the fig jelly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Why did I do that? Okay.
Well, I like these kind of horses. They had the lead just in the stretch and just lost. And a lot of them come back and just improve a little more and take the next race. So I'm with you on Fig Jelly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm all over it. Let me see my notes. This horse had his last out was very close to the targets. I think the major competition is going to be the 5 and the 6.
Right.
And it looked like today, these sprint races are on turf are really hazardous to your health, really.
I mean,
the favorite is Disco Partner. And to me, looking at this race, there's going to be a good pace. I mean, not great, necessarily great pace, but good pace. And I just thought that the one had a decent shot. Service has really been hot. So if he's bringing a horse here from Monmouth, you can say that the horse is ready for big time.
Yeah, and going into the meet, everybody said the rail. Don't bet the turf sprint, the rail horse. But I, from my observation, it hasn't really proven true.
No, I don't see that as really a factor. I mean, I'm looking at the last couple of weeks the one rail out of 13 races, the one post did win. It looks like it's an inside bias. So, I mean, not right. A bias, but an inside have got an advantage, for gate four inside of that. So, you can't be too wrong. I wouldn't be afraid of that.
Right.
I mean, it's
so that
I think one of the big things about what you're talking about is more on the 7 furlongs on dirt where horses come out of that chute and are, you see them, a lot of them get confused in with the opening between the chute and the main track, so the inside one, one hole on those races are not good.
Right.
I don't think it's a big deterrent.
Right.
Other deterrents, not that one.
yeah, right. So it looks like Fig Jelly also likes to finish second. So,
I think you have to be smart with that. It's his third start off a layoff, so which is, should be good.
So there
looks to be good pace in the race. There are two horses, the 2 and the 6 that need the lead to win. And, they're going to be pressured by the 5 and the 7. So I think our boy here, Fig Jelly, has got a shot.
Yeah, should be a nice race on Friday. And then Saturday, Saratoga. The Woodward is the big race over there on Saturday, August 31st, Saratoga.
That's a real tough one.
Yeah, I know. I was looking over. I said, okay, this one could win. This one had like four or five, and on the morning line didn't look like too many overlays, but.
Well, when you look at those fields, and you're not seeing any of the major people there, you know.
Right.
So interesting thing here is the jockey assignments, because if you look at the five and the nine are the two major people, you know. Mm-hmm. They're also the favorites,
right?
But and the nine, the five is Jimmy Jerkins, and he's good. The other one that is interesting to me was the two, the Bal Harbour, coming in from Monmouth.
Right.
He draws Castellano where, let me see. Yeah, the eight with Jose Ortiz switches from J.R. Velasquez. So, I mean, there's, the jockey switches here are interesting.
I guess Johnny V stays. He's been with Vino Rosso all along. So,
yeah, I guess. Yeah. Interesting with that horse, he's run a couple of decent, his last four races have been good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not as he hasn't won them all, but probably his last one was arguably his worst race out of the four.
Right.
But I like the blinkers coming off idea. It's always a good angle. So he's definitely a factor in this race to me.
Right. And has
originally what I picked was I ought to get the right race up here. I had it. Oh, I know what. Wait a minute. Oh, no wonder. I'm looking at it saying, how can I pick the? I thought this was on dirt. I didn't have the right day up.
Oh, okay.
I had Fridays up.
Okay.
I had interesting. I had originally I picked Vino Rosso to finish. He's actually he's won his last two. Mm-hmm. And here is the I'm sorry. I gotta get organized here.
That's all right.
As I was right, I had it right. The four races he had won two, and his last one was, I mean, he's normally a horse that's comes with a rush, you know, at the end, and he's got a good kick, but and there's no killers in here. The only thing about the nine, which is interesting, is that the horse is 3 for 3 at the distance and the track. You can't ignore that. Yeah.
Al Stahl, yeah. So.
So I mean he's the horse for course. There's no question about it. And you know, he's got a good Irad and Jose are fighting it out at the top. So there'll be no quarter taken there. So I've got him on top, and I also the long shot I was interested in was the one.
Okay.
Who has won two straight.
Right.
And the only negative there to me is that Alvarado jumps off, and they put Lascano up. So Lascano has been pretty cold this meet.
He's good on a front runner in the past. So
well, this horse should be out there,
right?
You know, so I think he shouldn't be on the Bill Daly there and have a decent with the nine sitting right off of him,
right? You know?
So, in any event,
and may go a little unnoticed with the betters because the name recognition with all those other horses you talked about probably should, you know, be in the ballpark of the morning line, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the five and the nine, everybody's going to gravitate to, you know. And I think the three and the one are possible upsetters.
Okay, so that is the Woodward, which is the 11th race over at Saratoga on Saturday. So let's look at some of the other stakes. We'll backtrack to the third race of the card on Saturday, the Prioress, the third race, three-year-old females. And
I hadn't gotten to that one yet.
Oh, that's okay. So maybe we'll give a real... Yeah, we'll give a real-time handicap and look at this race. The three is the 1-2.
I thought that, let me see here. Okay, let me pull that up. We're talking, the only horse that, I mean, they got number 3. 1-2. Well, obviously, he can win, but he's not winning with me on him.
You're right.
And, you know, I mean, he's got the numbers that look extraordinarily good, and he's got speed, and he's going to get pressure, a little pressure on the front end by the 4, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it looks to me like the 2 is a horse that's hasn't been improving. You know, he's a young horse, got improvement. So there's a sleeper at, you know, not great odds, 3-1.
Right.
Yeah.
So this may invite a race where you may want to move on to the next one, right?
Yeah, obviously, you can't consider a 1-2 shot, you know, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, he may overlay the field, but you can't take a look at that. That doesn't make any sense. You know?
So the 6th race is the Saranac, which is a 3-year-old colts, and it's a grade 3 race. And this one is on the inner turf going a mile, looks like mile and 16. So you looked at this one pretty good. It's a 6-horse field, but who do you like going into this one?
Let me pull that up. I had it basically a 4-5 as the 2 win contenders. And the 2 as a horse that's got a, you know, actually the 2 is the favorite, and I got him for 2nd and 3rd. So
another Chad Brown, race, but he only has 1 in here.
Yeah, you're going to be bad. The problem with to me in this race is that
I ride Ortiz. Separates them, but
I don't know. Every jock in this race is a good jock. So forget that as a plus. That doesn't make any. I mean, every one of them has got a shot. I just had it down to 4 and 5.
Right. So we're here at Win at the Horses, taking a look at the Saturday stakes race at Saratoga. Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly, and glad to be back doing the podcast here Thursday night. So we'll, our listeners can go to winatthehorses.com for a look at the selections and maybe give them a little blueprint on how to approach some of the races. I'm trying to see. We've got the Glens Falls. I think that's the only stake race we didn't call. And this is always a nice one. It's a long mile and 3/8 inner turf grade two at Saratoga. And you like a horse in here. Actually, you like two of them, the 2 and the 4, which are probably they're going to be the shortest prices. So you don't see too much for making a score here, right?
I didn't when I first looked at it. I looking at it, the most dangerous horse to me is a horse like the 7. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the figures necessarily that you would like to have as the other ones, but the horse is going to be on the lead by himself.
Right.
And that's always a key to me in these long races. I mean, dominating pace in races like that are long, like the 1 3/8 and a mile and a half, that type of thing. That this horse is to me now. They say that the 2 is going to be there, but I think the 7 may be faster.
And this horse won the Glens Falls last year.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. On the lead, as you said, it was a dawdling pace, 51, almost 52 seconds at the half mile. So,
So
gets Carbouche.
Why go against the winner? The other horse, the 2, has slightly better recent figures, you know, but and he's beaten the he beat the 9 and the 4 last out. So you got to give him some credit. I the only thing about this horse, if I'm not mistaken, is I don't think he's got he hasn't gotten this far.
Okay.
Although he actually went further, I should clarify. He won a mile and a half the last time. Again, he's got speed, so I mean, you got to put him in there, you know. So the
long shot you're looking at is
I would give a 7. Some look at the 7.
The Lady Mondor, and it's owned by Godolphin, and you got the Chad Brown horses, which is, should be right in the mix there, the 2 and the 4.
Yeah. I don't like the 3 at all. So,
okay.
So Brown's got 2 in this one, 4 and 8.
Yeah. And he's all actually, he's got 3.
Oh, yeah, he's got
2, 4, and 8. 2, 4, and 8. Yeah.
Yeah. I got him to win.
That's right. Yeah. Staying loyal to Chad Brown, like a lot of people. Right.
And I've got the 8 3rd.
Oh, there you go. So is there a chink in his armor at all, or Chad Brown?
No.
Solid.
You know, usually guys like this are, I mean, they're good trainers, etc., but it's the stock they get. And this guy obviously is extremely good at placing every one of them in winning spots, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, you bet against him at your peril. I don't give him as much on the turf. I mean, on the dirt. He's just dominant on the turf.
Right.
So.
Go ahead.
Go. No, I was. That was.
No, I was saying. I was saying that a meet that's starting up Kentucky Downs, which is always an intriguing course and challenge for handicappers. You've looked at this one pretty good in advance of. They're open on Saturday, right?
They open on Saturday. It's a short meet. It's for a U.S. track, it's very, very different. I mean, it's undulating with ups and downs, and you know, and it's funny when, and it could be just the way the camera work is, but you're always, as they turn for home, you think, well, your horse is golden, right? I mean, he's made his big right. move, it looks like, and then it just seems to go on and on. And horses get swallowed up, you know?
Yeah, where's the wire?
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's wild, you know?
Mm-hmm. So do you have, I mean, you looked at it in depth, but any races you want to start on and maybe give some listeners some tips on this?
Well, okay, let's go for the stakes race, first of all. I guess they are
race 7.
7th and 8th, yeah. How did I see this?
7th is... Seventh is the One Dreamer Stakes.
Right. And
so when you're looking at this, you know,
I'm stuck at 2 and 4, whatever it is. I got 2 and 4 in this one.
The 7 and, no, you got 4 and 9.
Oh, I'm looking at the first race. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
I got 4 and 9. So I see.
Right.
And, it's interesting to me when you look, first of all, the jockeys in this race are, you know, they're not your usual. I mean, you got to give extra look at Giroux and Leperoux. And I don't know, I can never remember. And the kid, what's his name? Bishira?
Yeah, Bishira. Yeah, Beseecha. Yeah.
And Graham is actually decent long shot.
The Irish guy, right?
Yeah. He's a decent long shot guy. Gaffleon's okay. You know, I mean, he's okay. But I had it 4 and 9 here. And
When you're looking on this kind of meet, are you looking for experience on the course as a factor, or are you just kind of going on current form?
Well, I do look at it. I didn't find many horses in here that had even run on the Kentucky Downs, you know?
Right.
So, so that, you know, in this race, I didn't find any. I don't think I found anybody that ran in that, you know, on that course. Right. So I would say that who else did I have in this one? I took a look at the 6. The 6 is a long shot, but he's got a pretty decent record. Five times he's finished in the money at this distance, so I looked at him. Lannery's not a bad jockey either, and he doesn't have a lot of mounts today.
Right.
So I had him, and then the other one was the 7, which is
Cassie's horse.
Big time closer, yeah. Uh-huh. From Cassie. This horse had he finished behind the 4 and the 10 last out. So he's got figures that, you know, I mean, he's coming his third start off a layoff, and usually that's a good sign. But he is a closer.
Right.
To death. And of course, the 10 we just talked about, that he's another one that I had for third, and you know, his last out was very good, even though he finished behind the 4. He was relatively close.
That's with Danny Pites and Jamie Graham. So
yeah. If I mean, yeah, the price there, you got to look at the price. I mean, it's listed as 6-1. If it goes up from there, then he's worth a little jingle maybe in the underneath, you know.
Yeah. So we're talking about Kentucky Downs on Saturday, going through the stakes races here, Bill Kelly and Joe Kelly. And on the eighth race, which is the Taurus Mile on the turf, you like the 2 and the 9 in this one. Mr. Cub, you might be rooting for a team you're hoping loses tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Desperately hoping that they lose. Yeah, that.
Right.
I didn't look at the name. That's got nothing to do with it.
Right. Right.
The let me see why. Well, this horse has got to win at Kentucky Downs, and he's got to win at this distance. So he immediately came to. In his last three races, he's been very good.
Right. So
he's got to step up a little bit. Maybe his third race back would be put him in the mix against Bricks and Mortar, you know. And he only lost by half a length.
Half a length, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a good horse.
And right.
The 2 is a stretch, you know. I like the trainer, Baltus. He's very, very dangerous. He's coming off the layoff. His layoff numbers are decent, you know. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
No, I was saying that Baltus, he's a West Coast trainer primarily, right? But he ships out really well.
Well, with all the trouble at Santa Anita, he kind of moved to the Midwest. So, I don't think he still runs horses on the West Coast, but he split his stable.
Right. Okay. So the 2 and the 9, I like that Mr. Cub looking back with Bricks and Mortar, half a length of Bricks and Mortar.
Yeah, you can't
shy away from.
Yeah, and I had the 4 to be considered, particularly underneath. He's got a decent record finishing second, and he's got a win at Kentucky Downs, so he should be considered. Right.
Yeah. Trained by the affable Mike Maker.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sure. But another great trainer.
Yeah, I mean, he's particularly good with turf horses. So.
Right. So that Midwest circuit, it's. I mean, the Churchill Downs meet was really strong, and they can. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's helped them a lot is, I mean, there's really healthy I'm looking for a word here. The payouts to the owners are very high, you know. Mm-hmm. So this meet is considered a real boon. And it's helped by the casinos and that type of stuff, which surprised me, by the way. I don't know why you saw it, but CDI, the holding company of Churchill Downs, decided not to apply for a casino license in Illinois. They own the Arlington.
Right, okay.
And that could really be a real problem for Arlington going forward. And it's a political battle because of taxes. Mm-hmm. You know, Illinois is asking too much, and they don't want to pay it. So maybe that'll change, but. It's an ongoing business, you know, ongoing problem. So you want to take a look at Telmar?
Yeah, let's take a look. Anything on Friday? You just want to stay on Saturday at Del Mar?
No, I didn't look at Friday.
Okay.
One of the problems with Del Mar is they don't, you know, at least the services I have, they're very late with putting their program numbers out. It's difficult to handicap, you know.
Right.
So
you want to go on the Maybe Stakes Race 7? Have you taken a look at that?
Sure. Let's okay. Do it.
So this is a grade 2 mile and an eighth on the turf and down at Del Mar.
Yeah. I mean, I this is one where I don't really have a whole lot of information other than the names of the horses. I see Hollenhofer's got his big mare in here. The number
that's one. Right, Basilica.
Basilica, yeah.
Right.
Looks like she got beat last time at Del Mar, but certainly is a horse that you got to be afraid of here. So, right.
The regular rider, Flavian Pratt.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, Pratt and Ben,
Van Dyke, DVD.
Van Dyke. Those two, right. I mean, every time, like he's on the Juliet Foxtrot for Brad Cox coming in. See, now this is interesting here. This is a horse that qualifies for the Ship and Win program. You get a horse for winning. And horses that have been very, very good winning at Del Mar, shipping in and winning the first time out.
So do they offer at every race or just the stakes races?
No, any race.
Oh, okay. Shipping in from outside of California, right?
Yeah, they're it's their last start. So I mean, horses that are their last start has been outside of California are eligible for Ship and Win. So it's been successful, and the reason they did it is they've had such a dearth of animals, you know. They just don't have the stock there in California now. So,
right.
And they, you know, Santa Anita screwed everything up and lost. I mean, like Hollenhofer and his first, they took 100 horses out of there. I mean, you know, and they weren't good. They weren't strong to begin with, you know.
Right, right.
So
Juliet Foxtrot, maybe keep an eye, and probably going to get a little better price than Basilica.
Shot. I mean, you know, the one is going to be tough. So, I don't see any, nothing else comes to mind here.
So why don't we jump on to race number 9, the Del Mar Debutante Grade 1. It's a 2-year-old's 7-furlong sprint on the dirt. And for horses like this, let's say a sprint race like this, a lot of times horses just one race. How do you make heads and tails of these horses? Which one can go to the next level?
Well, you kind of look at, you know, how they won their one out and who the competition was, and usually in a race like this, a 7-furlong, which is stretching a horse, you know, you're kind of looking at horses that got some pace to them. At least I am. And of course, I'm just looking at, just going down the list. I mean, the first horse, O'Neill, he's the first and second, right? The second one got some experience. One, two, is got just fell off the the beaten path the last time out. Good early speed, but dueled inside. One of the things you got to see, this is a horse that's interesting because the inside at Del Mar has not been good. So here's a horse looking at the write-up. Good early speed, dueled inside, stalked and weakened. So I would say you go back to his other race where he was, you know, there on the lead. I would say he's got a shot. That's a two.
That's a two, comical.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying a two. Yeah, I guess it is too. And of course you got to look at Baffert's horse. I mean, he's a maiden, and
right.
Baffert doesn't. He ran to a 1 1/4 length to Impressa, who's been very highly rated. So he's a candidate. He's stepping up from 5 1/2 furlongs to 7. So, I mean, looks like he can do it. The other trainer you got to keep an eye on is Pete Miller.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, always strong.
This jockey, the surprising, this jockey from the Golden Gate, Cedillo.
Yeah, Cedillo, yeah.
He is. He's done very well at Del Mar.
Right.
You have to take a look at this race because, I mean, he got sensational. He's got the number one figure on the in the race. He's got to be considered, you know.
And there's only one way for him going forward. Right,
yeah,
to the lead,
right? All of them are the same. I mean, you know, of course, the Baffert horse will get over bet, you know.
So you have the traditional Baffert second horse, 6-1 with Mike Smith in that race as well.
This is the one I mentioned before, right? No.
Oh, the 8, Stellar Sound. Yeah.
The one that's interesting here is the 7. He's wealthy. He beat
the number 5 best.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got to be. This is a darn good race. There's some good horses here.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So but I wonder if this the one with the figure is the 4.
Okay. The Peter Miller horse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's got, you know, this is, you know, under my speed figures, he's got at least a 10-point lead on him. Not that that means much, but. And he's only, you know, looking at the distance is probably a problem for him, where the 7 should get this easy. He's a 2-turn horse, really.
Right.
So
that should be put a circle around to check that one out. And it's probably you win and you're in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
Good chance of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a winning in it, and you're in, right?
I think so. Yeah.
So
we've got another that is the big race over at the showcase race on Saturday at Del Mar, and Bill Kelly here, Joe Kelly. As we got a few more moments left in the program, Win at the Horses podcast, and we wanted to touch on one of our favorite. You got me into following this circuit, Hong Kong.
Oh, which, Hong Kong, yeah. Opens up on Sunday. Well, Sunday out there, Monday night are here.
That's right. So they've had 2 months off, right?
Yeah, they closed on June, second week of June.
Okay. So how do you approach first starts of the meet for horses? Anything you like to do, like a strategy going into, you know, the opening week of races?
Well, I would recommend anybody taking a look at the circuit to get onto HongKongJC.com website there. Download the PPs, etc. They're excellent, you know. So, I mean, they've got all the information on that thing that you absolutely need, much better than what we get in the States. Looking at
so,
this,
so for the yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that the key thing that I look at is this is on the B course, which is a narrow course in the stretch. And I look for speed in particular.
Yeah.
Being up close, it's hard to rally, you know, what they call sweepers back there, coming from back end and sweeping wide, because it's a wide course normally. The A course is very wide. B is narrow, and it kind of limits that big sweep, you know, sweeping move. So I kind of concentrate on horses that I know when they hit the stretch are going to be in the vanguard there. And then I look for horses that have shown in the past that they can win first up, coming off this layoff, you know?
Okay.
I mean, you can go, they've got, I mean, if you really want to study it, they've got all the workout information, and you can you can watch it on video, and, you know, this is all accessed on the website. And, you know, they've got the pace, you know, and the speed map and everything else. So you got all the information you need. There are a couple of things that are be interesting to watch is that they've got a Hong Kong jockey coming back that hasn't ridden in, I'm going to say, in 7 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's H.W. Lai, or okay. H. something Lai. He got hurt. He actually hurt his hand, and he's been out that length of time. So he's coming back. And then they've got a new jockey from a young kid, 21 years old, from South Africa.
Is that Shin?
Huh?
Is that Shin?
No, Shin is, I'm not sure where he's from.
Okay.
He may be from Singapore. I'm not sure. This kid is named, hang on. I probably blew his name anyway. So,
Hewlettson,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then you've got interesting is there for years their number one jockey there is now a trainer.
And he's that's right. So that's Danny White, right?
Yeah, White, yeah.
Yeah.
It's spelled W-H-Y-T-E. But he was, you know, he was untouchable as a jockey there and leading. He's
Zach Purton.
Yeah, Zach Purton is today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this guy won the championships there like 5 or 6 years in a row. So
let me ask you about for people who go to the Hong Kong JC.com and they're looking at the past performances with the breakdown on the different kind of breakdown on the pace and the sectional times. How if they're looking, how do you explain that right there? You have different, you have like four or five sectional times, and then you have two times in bold print.
They're primarily will show they're in turf racing. They're interested in the last quarter and the finish time, but they do things slightly different there. Where in our race, you know, if you run what they call an 1800 meter race, which is a mile and a 16th, right?
Right.
Where we put that little fraction at the very end.
Right.
They do it at the beginning of the race. So the last fraction is always a quarter of a mile.
Okay.
In any race, there's nothing. They're always a quarter of a mile is the final time. Is the last fraction of a race.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different way. I mean, the finish times are all the same. So.
Right.
The only difference is they clock it so that the first section, if it's an oddball, you know, that obviously the sixth furlong is 3/4 miles, right?
Right.
But when you go to 7 furlongs, the last 3 are 1/4 miles, right? But the first section is the different is what? 200 meters longer. So the first 200 meters are timed, and then they go to 1/4 miles.
So any tips on the straightaway sprint races at Sha-Tin?
Yeah, well, obviously it's an hour course, but in this case, speed being up close and usually the unusual thing is the grandstand side of the track, which is the high number gates, are usually more advantageous than the low number gates. Now this is a change because when I was out there in the 70s and 80s, they didn't run, for some reason, and I sent an email to the track, and they said, well, let me look at that, and I'll get back. And they never got back to me. But in the old days, they didn't run the race where all the horses were, you know, on the grand side. The high number gates were where they ran, like a European gate. You know, if you look at the racetrack, it's a straight course, and then usually the bend, you know, where the other races are, they put up a temporary rail. And I guess jockeys don't like to run their horses on that side of the track. I don't know why. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but that's what they do, you know. So high gates, speed, and are advantageous. And there are 2,000-meter races in this race, in the card.
That's right. I'm looking at the ninth, and Zach Purton's always tough in these kind of races, and he's got a 12.
The other thing to keep in mind is Marrero wasn't a, you know, he didn't start in the Hong Kong last year until December. So, I mean, his win rate, you know, his win total is much less than Purton. Right. But, you know, between the two of them in that period, they won 40% of the races.
Oh.
Two guys.
So, wow. It's like the Ortiz brothers.
Yeah, I mean, they dominate. They dominate not necessarily just because they're great jockeys and they're good, but they get the best horses. Yeah. The owners, they want those two first.
Right.
First choice, you know.
So
they're going to
so
get.
I wonder how. I wonder how Joe Marrera's Japanese learning is coming along.
I hope he's learning English when he moved to Europe or something.
That's right. Yeah. You think he would ever try to come out this way in the States?
I don't know. I mean, there's no reason.
Yeah.
I mean, not to.
I think Frankie Dettori gave it one try out at Saratoga for a few days a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, the Cruz, who's the trainer in Hong Kong, he rode at Saratoga a number of years ago. And they are a big fish in a small pond that has a lot of money, bets a lot, and you know, so it's very lucrative for those two. And not so lucrative for everybody else.
So that's a little
you got to look for those two in every race. You got to evaluate
them
because, and particularly on horses that are first time, they've never ridden. You know, there were very few first time Hong Kong starters, meaning the first time they're going to run in Hong Kong. There were very few in this card, but horses that have run and either Marrero or Purton get on him for the first time, always a good sign.
Right. So keep that in mind and go to HKJC. They've got all sorts of things. Also, the YouTube, the three guys are always giving in-depth analysis with their preview show.
Yeah. And yes, they do. And the other thing to keep in mind is on sprint races, the Bug Boys come into play, particularly on speed horses, you know, horses that are going to be up front because they when they take the weight off, they really become a factor. So you got to keep it like the Chan, and there's a new one in there. I'm not sure who it is, where it's getting 10. There's a 10-pound jock. I think Chan is a 7-pound. And the other thing to watch is to see Marrero rides at 115. Mm-hmm. And where Purton can't ride, I mean, he basically can't ride below 120. So normally his horses are always the higher handicapped horses, you know, of a race. So the first horse number one is not gate number one, but it's the highest ranked horse in that race. So they, in some respects, they're handicapping for you. You know,
that's true. Yeah. So it's a really
who's got the best. You know, the best. They you know they start out at a record, and as they lose, they usually take 2 pounds or what the hell? I'll come up with it in a minute. Handicapped rate, you know, is the highest rated horse is going to be number one, and then it works all the way down to the 14th horse or whatever, how many that are in there, and that horse will have the lightest or the least handicap rating number. So they handicap.
There's a lot. Yeah. It's a really interesting way of looking at handicapping, a little diversion from the States and the way things go, but really exciting too. They race twice a week, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you are. You're going out on the road cross country.
I won't be able to see it. I'll be driving.
That's right. And we'll forgive you if you can't do the show next week. We'll
actually,
are you flying back or are you driving back?
Yeah, no, I'm flying back, but I won't get into California until 7:30 or so, and then I'm picking up the car and I'm driving. So
Okay, so
if you want to do it on Friday, I can do it on Friday, but I can't do it on Thursday.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we do it on Friday?
And
we
That's
can
fine.
Recap your trip. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going from Vegas, Dallas, and any stop before Florida? From Dallas, are you probably?
We're going to stop at Jimmy's house for I don't know how long. It depends on how long we're there, but we're planning on leaving early Monday morning from there to Parrish, Florida. And that
You're going to go direct? Yeah, right.
Yeah, and we'll make it. We'll drive through. So hopefully we.
So
beat
who's
going to?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you heading into the storm?
We should get. We should, according to the latest map. Even if it gets there, it's going to get there like early Tuesday morning. So we'll be high and dry at that point.
And Sean's flying back, or is he staying down there?
No. They're staying. The family.
Oh, okay.
Family is flying in on Thursday, and he's going to go pick them up, and then he'll drive me to Orlando on Friday. So.
Yeah. And you got three dogs in tow, right?
Three dogs in tow. Yeah. He surprised me. He picked up another one.
Yeah, that's right.
Looks very, very much like yours.
Yeah, that's what you were telling me. Yeah, it's a young dog. Probably bigger. Ours is only like 22 pounds, but still. Yeah.
They have the same look, so same color.
Oh, okay. Oh, I gotcha.
So,
yeah. So you probably have a lot of stories along the way. Who's controlling the radio?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm bringing plenty of audio books, so I'll be well entertained.
That's right. And you'll be able to fire up the laptop for some horses.
Yeah, I've got Wi-Fi. You know, mobile Wi-Fi, so I'll be able to download and send stuff for you. I'm not sure about the handicap. Well, I should have plenty of time for the handicap.
Yeah, we'll understand if you take a few days off. So
yeah, this is a big weekend actually. Right? Monday is Labor Day, so there'll be.
That's right. Yeah, I got to work. I got to work Sunday, but I have Monday off, so that'll be good.
So, yeah. Yeah. You got to work Sunday?
Yeah, we got moving day for the freshmen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, many of schools out here have already started.
I know. They always start Labor Day weekend. One year they went a week earlier, but they decided they've been doing this for a while. So the workers don't really get a true Labor Day weekend, but it'll be busy.
Yeah, is that a big big day for you to work?
I mean, it'll be busy. And Pat may be on campus. Bed Bath & Beyond finally got a tent to sell stuff on campus. I guess they tried all these years, and finally the school said, "Okay, come on campus." So he may stop by.
Who's this? Your brother?
Pat, your son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's your brother, too. So.
Yeah, at last count. Yeah, that's right. So we'll see.
That's really good. Is he bringing that in?
I think he's up for a wedding for his nephew. So I think, they both kids may be up. But I think it may be up in the air whether he's stopping by or not. So we'll see.
But he's definitely going to have a tent. Somebody's going to be there.
Yeah, somebody's going to be here. But I guess he's overseeing the region, so maybe he'll pop in, see the employees aren't stealing anything.
So obviously he's not having Labor Day either.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he might check in, and then he's got a wedding in the at 1 o'clock. So.
Oh, awesome. Okay. All right.
So safe travels for you and Sean and the dogs and.
The Kellys are on the move, and the Connors.
The Kellys are on the move.
You know, Connors headed back tomorrow to China. So.
That's right. He's been out here for a few weeks, right?
He landed on August 3rd, so he's almost a month.
It's good. He's fluent in. He's fluent in Mandarin, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you have to be. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't.
I actually saw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't read. I mean, he doesn't write it. So, but.
Oh, okay. I actually saw a video. He was part of a promotional video for the hotel he's in it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one that does it.
So he's got it. He's got to get some airtime.
That's right. Yeah. All the stuff is him.
Yeah. Yeah, he runs a nice hotel out there.
It's a great. I'll tell you, I've stayed there. Well, obviously, I've stayed there many, many times. It is really a first-class 5-star hotel. So,
Bund on the Sunrise, I think.
Yeah, Sunrise on the Bund. Bund is the area. It's also a big avenue there along the water, but it's an area of Shanghai downtown.
Right. So he's well adjusted over there, and it's good to come home, I'm sure, for you to see him as well.
Almost 9 years.
Yeah. So want to thank you, Dad. We went in depth on some of the things happening this weekend, Saratoga and Kentucky Downs in Del Mar, and broached the first day of the meet at starting September 1st in Hong Kong and Sha Tin. So safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye.